Welcome to the Overflow Podcast by New River Church, where we seek to provide authentic, practical, biblical encouragement beyond Sunday services. I'm your host, Sally Peavy, and today Pastor Ryan is joining me for a super interesting conversation on cancel culture. What is it? And as followers of Jesus, what should our response be when we see a celebrity or someone we know fail in some way? How can we hold people accountable but still have grace? It's a tricky topic, and we're unpacking it all right now. We hope you enjoy this conversation. Hey, Pastor Ryan, we're so happy to have you back for the Overflow Podcast. We're in season two, which is very exciting. And so this is your first episode on season two. We're just really glad you're here.
Season two. The one after the first one.
Exactly. Because like that friends. Is how numbers work.
Yeah. Yes.
Welcome back. You have been really busy.
Yeah, it's been fun. Everybody's been busy.
Yeah. Well, we had quarantine, COVID, which, you know, we're still essentially kind of in the middle of, but everything loosening with quarantine restrictions and all that kind of stuff. So we've been getting back in the swing of things. And then, I think if anybody has been busy over the last few months, it has definitely been you. And that is namely because of, I want to talk about it just for a minute because it is kind of crazy. And just for people who go to New River, who might not have just a total grasp of kind of what the Academy looked like last year and then what we're starting off with this year because we're now in full swing. The Academy started back, was it last week or the week before?
The 17th.
Yeah, the 17th.
The grade school.
Okay, yeah, the grade school. Exactly, yeah. The preschool will be starting later.
Yeah, September 14th.
Yeah. Yep. But I mean, it's just been kind of mind-blowing even just in staff meetings and stuff to hear the numbers. And I would just love for people who are part of New River to have a little bit of a deeper insight. You know, we try not to do too many like plugs and all that kind of stuff on a Sunday. We just kind of want Sunday to be a Sunday. But we want people to know what's happening in this building throughout the week. And it's just kind of amazing what God has done. So I'd love to hear just a little bit about what you've seen with the Academy in the last few weeks and months.
Yeah, the Academy's doing great. I love what you said. Sundays are for worship.
Yeah.
Right? I love that. That's great. Nugget.
Yeah. I don't even think I said that, but maybe that's what you got
that's
from
what
it.
I meant.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Well, that's what we made I'll worship. Take but anyway, for that. You know, worship always.
Absolutely.
But the Academy, yeah, has been great. You know, I'll give you the short story of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So basically a church down the street just kind of ran out of room and wanted to revive it. And I remember our staff has prayed even years before that we would love the opportunity to have some type of school to be able to teach a Christian education. Mm-hmm. And it was funny that about a year and a half later, a church basically asked us, would you like to inherit this church, if you will? And we were like, man, we don't know what we're doing, but we'll try it. And that was basically last year.
Yeah.
At that point, we already had the preschool for about a year or so.
Yeah.
And we inherited basically kindergarten through sixth grade and then some after school and before school opportunities.
Amazing.
And so that was last year to ended, you know, last summer. And just getting new, trying to, you know, keep those students that came from the other academy and kind of help them understand what New River is about. We had about 19 kids in our grade school, 65 kids in our preschool.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we didn't know what the Lord was going to do with that. You know, we think the Lord will bless that. We think we're doing it the right way, if you will. But we don't know. And we're just kind of riding that wave, if you will. And then the Lord blessed us with 47 kids in grade school this semester when we started a week ago. And right now, 81 kids in preschool.
Wow.
And it is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It is fun. It is a little crazy. But our teachers are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
They know what they're doing. They have a lot of history. They have a lot of experience in teaching grade school. And so we get to come up here every day. Y'all see it every day.
Yeah.
We get to come up here and just see the kids. And they're having a great time. That's awesome. So the Lord's doing big things in that academy. And it's a Christian education.
Yeah.
Basically, it's education with Christian undertones, if you will, in our curriculum that is a nationwide curriculum. But it's really good and looks awesome. And we're just going to keep doing what we feel the Lord's telling us to do.
Yeah.
And right now, that's a good thing. Yeah.
That is a really good thing. And we were kind of talking even before we started recording, just, you know, it's just another one of those things that if there is anything good to come out of a pandemic, you know, out of something crazy, I think with the way that the uncertainty of public schools and things like that, I think it gave parents an opportunity to pause you know, disrupt their routine a little bit and say, well, maybe what about a Christian school, or what about a private Christian school and that kind of education? And look at that. Now, you know, their kids who may have never even thought of it in the future are now going to, you know, have an education that's faith-based, you know, which is kind of exciting in and of itself. You know, I know Brian says that a lot, that how many total between,
147.
147. So Brian says that a lot, that it's little souls that are entrusted to us, for us to help shape and mold and grow and fall in love with Jesus, which is really exciting.
And it is mind blowing. I mean, you know, we forget sometimes the ministry that we have and that we're able to do here at this church, not just on Sundays, not just the NRS and River Kids and growth groups, but man, 147 kids on campus Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
And getting taught the word and proper education. Yeah. So it's really cool. So we're just seeing what the Lord's going to do with it.
Yeah. Well, and I remember in a podcast in the first season saying, like, I love hearing all the voices, like all the little, like it sounds like a school. And then it was funny walking in the first day last week that all the kids are, it's so many more. I mean, it's like doubled in size. And so it literally sounds like a school. Yeah. It just sounds really neat. So, you know, even throughout the week, these hallways are being filled with like laughter and fun and, you know, education, all sorts of stuff. So it's just really neat
and
to think.
And we say, you know, we've even talked in our meetings, you know, a little inside, that we talk like we are now a church school.
Yes.
It's hard to use this building that was built for a church for a school. And so, you know, again, I think the Lord's given us a vision and now it's just trying to get, you know, get it all set up to flourish one day. And
exactly.
So we'll see where he goes. We would love the opportunity to expand this school and expand this church.
Yeah.
But, again, hey, if that's not what the Lord has, if he has this as a school, a small academy, that's fine too. You know, we're doing what we feel we should do in that moment.
Exactly.
And simplicity.
It's simplicity.
All about Jesus.
Just doing the next right step, whatever's right in front of you. I think that's amazing. That's good stuff. Well, that's exciting, Ryan. And so you are, I mean, you're like over that. Like, what would your title be over that?
Well, it's
like
administrative, so we have
something.
I run around and act like I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
No clue. I answer questions.
Yes. Answer lots of questions.
I don't know if they're right. But I answer. But we have, you know, Christy Rice is our preschool director.
Yes.
So she basically runs the preschool and meets with the teachers and makes sure they got their curriculum ready and supports them. Marty is our grade school. She's our principal is what we call it.
Yeah.
So she works with the grade school teachers. And then we have Olivia,
awesome,
who's over our, yeah, they're all amazing.
They really, all three, I mean, are just like so perfectly positioned
for
where they are. And Olivia's over
before school,
and
after school, which goes 6:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Awesome. And then, you know, our board, our school board runs the school, if you will.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah. So just so many moving parts. It's just stuff. So hopefully, hopefully everybody listening, you just feel so encouraged by that, that New River, I mean, we're just, it's good. It's good to be in a place that's active, that's always seeking out new opportunities to, you know, to help, especially with children, like shape and mold their young little lives and minds. It's just exciting.
What's funny too is, me and Brian keep talking and he was like, what would your teachers say, like when I was in school, if they were like, you have your hands in the building of an academy?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, are we sure that he's the right for that position?
That's so funny.
No, but it's funny. And I would have never imagined that I'd be at a church, one, but then being able to teach on Sundays and then also have part in some part of an academy. The Lord has done crazy things in my life, which I hope people listen and say the same thing about their life. You know,
yes.
It's all just, you know, hey, if this is what the Lord has, this is what the Lord
has. Listen, Ryan, I think that's amazing because that's a perfect segue into what we're talking about today, which we'll see where this goes. I don't want this to be, this is not some like absolute definitive conversation about this topic. I just want us to bring up some thoughts and points about, you know, this topic, which is cancel culture. Which I think ties in so perfectly with what you're talking about because let me just give the definition of cancel culture that I found online just so that people understand kind of what's going on. I know this has a lot to do with like social media. So let me just read the definition and share some thoughts and then I'm going to ask some of your thoughts.
All right.
So cancel culture refers to the popular practice of withdrawing support or canceling public figures and companies after something they have done or said, something that could be considered objectionable or offensive. Cancel culture is generally discussed as being performed on social media in the form of group shaming. So a lot to unpack there. The reason that I want to talk about it is because I want to figure out, or at least just open up this conversation to get our minds going on, like, you know, we're just a very media driven, social media driven society at this point. But as believers who are called to be, you know, believers of Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus Christ, who are called to be set apart, right? Mm-hmm. What can or should be our role when it comes to canceling or shaming people, you know, yeah, or things like that? And so, because I think we can easily, if we see someone, maybe a celebrity who has done or said something that could be offensive or just, you know, questionable or anything like that, I think we just have to understand, you know, always understand that people are watching us on social media and how we're responding to things. And what do we show when we jump in with, you know, people who are canceling or whatever? So, like, you know, they're like, one of the ones that comes to mind is like, you know, like recent celebrity was like Lori Loughlin, the whole thing with her paying for her kids to get into college.
Is that Rebecca?
Yeah, it's Rebecca from Full House.
Rebecca.
Such a shame. I know. But like things like that. So when things come to cancel culture, I guess where I'm trying, like where I want to this conversation to go is like, what is the difference in like, how do we hold people accountable for the things that they have done and make sure that those things don't happen again without also jumping in on that like shame wagon? You know what I'm saying?
Dude, yeah, that is a...
It's a lot.
It's a trap.
Yeah.
I think you got to be super, and this is that's the problem, right? I got to be super careful with what I say.
Yeah.
It is so hard, but you do need to be careful.
Yes.
You need to, we talked about this morning in a Bible study that we have to have, when we talk, that we pray for opportunities to share the word, but we do it with love and respect and we share the truth boldly.
Yeah.
So all of that is so difficult, especially in a culture, if you will, that one loves to attack, two loves to take things and run with it, and that is super sensitive. So, and that's the thing is you, it's so hard to answer that question.
I feel like
I could contradict myself over and over again.
Right. I honestly feel the same way. That's why I feel
you
like
you want to be careful, but you want to be bold.
That's
tough. So the best way to say it is what we've been talking about since we've been in this building is love.
Mm-hmm.
Do it all in love.
Yeah.
End of story. I mean, if you think someone that did something wrong, you think it's in love to talk about how bad of a person they are or throw shots at their family or whatever or put nasty words. They don't have to be cuss words, just words that are not intended in love.
Yeah.
If you think that's love, then reread the Bible.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's bold right there.
Yes.
You know? So and that's the best way to say it.
If you are
doing it in love with respect, then most of the times you're probably doing it right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that negates this whole conversation.
Exactly.
You know, but again, that's the hard thing.
Yeah.
Because another thing is too, is we love to point out other people's faults.
Yeah.
We love to point out their failures. We hate to see people succeed. Hate's a strong word. We don't like to see people succeed until you have that love aspect and we root against rather than for.
Yes.
And what's the point of rooting against anybody, right? That's our main goal is to love other people. I'll pray that they succeed.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm generalizing everybody
by
the way. I mean, not everybody's that way. But that's the problem. They jump on these things, they point out people's faults and failures, and then it goes deep, and then they snap back, then you say anything worse. And again, do it in love.
Exactly.
Hey, I understand you messed up.
Yeah.
We all mess up. Jesus saves.
You know,
Jesus forgives.
Yes.
You know, and we would not have this discussion. But again, I know that's not how it is.
I love that. It's almost similar to kind of what Brian and I were talking about last week. We kind of, you know, just talked about the adulterous woman who's about to be stoned.
I was about to say, that's the best way to say it.
To stop the shame. Stop. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just heaping shame on. And even when you just think about shame, I know we've had this conversation before about shame too, of at least like on the podcast. So I talked with somebody who was sitting in that spot about shame. But that's the whole thing. When you heap shame onto someone, don't create a way for restoration, shame really just leads to more dark things for them. So it doesn't create a way for someone to experience restoration. We think if I shame someone enough, it will make them stop their XYZ behavior or whatever. What it really does is push someone further into darkness, where they don't have a chance to really heal. They're just going to hide and then probably keep doing the same things, yeah. but in darkness. And there's really no chance for redemption at that when you're just shaming someone into a corner and not saying, like, let's talk through what has happened. Let's work towards a different way of thinking or living or believing or whatever it is that they've done that's created this, you know, this issue.
And you do that so they succeed.
Exactly.
Success in our minds is different also than biblical success too. When we talk about succeed, we talk about what the Bible talks about, flourishing, living a righteous, holy life.
Yes.
That's success. It's not popularity, money, and cars.
And I think as believers, when we, you know, and again, not to always take this back to something trivial, but it's just the basis of what we believe is our goal should always be restoration for people.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really should. And so that's what I think about, you know, even like I see stuff online and I'm like, ew, why did this person do that? Yeah, that's gross. That should be canceled or whatever. I'll have these like thoughts, but I feel like ultimately it is this inner Holy Spirit that's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. First of all, you're no better. Every sin falls equal. And it's like, the goal has to be restoration for these people. And I feel like, you know, a lot of it too depends on where you are in life, the things that you've experienced. I feel like there was a time in my life where it was so much easier for me to be like, if somebody had a strange behavior or a weird issue, or it was just something I couldn't comprehend, or it was disgusting to me or something that could have been deemed as cancelable, I would have just been like, that person should be canceled. You know, like not those words. I would think that. However, in life, you know, what we've experienced, some of the stuff that my husband and I have experienced, it takes you to a place of understanding. If there is some sort of questionable act, behavior, words, you know, anything like that, there is something so much deeper going on. And you're able to pull back and say, okay, there is some deep hurt there. Something wrong has happened. We need to just slow down and not just totally rip this person to shreds because of something that they've done. We've got to figure out why would that have happened? Why? How did they get to this place? There's some deep brokenness that needs some healing.
And it all roots to one thing, which is sin.
I mean, 100%.
Here's the thing. We can break it down and make it very simple.
Yeah.
It's sin, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the hard part is people are naturally drawn to sin.
Yeah.
That's why we're... And it's not God's fault, right? Yeah. That was obviously not our intention. That is not God's fault that we sinned. And that has created a whole mess of things, but it all is sin, you know? And that's why we like to point at other people's faults to make us look like we are successful. But you did say something too in the original question. Mm-hmm. Now, this is where it gets difficult because, yeah, you should definitely speak out in love and act in love. And the shame part too is when you push away that person when you do... point out their stuff or whatever in the wrong way, even sometimes in the right way. And that relationship is broken and we are called to love and have relationships. Mm-hmm. That's where fellowship and unity happen. But you did touch on something that's important and that is accountability.
Right.
But here's my thing is whose role is it to keep people accountable?
Yeah.
You know, that is the role of someone who's in a relationship with them. If I went up to somebody that I know that I met once and I was like, hey man, you should probably stop doing this, 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 and this. That ain't going to come off as in somebody who is with that guy and has a relationship with him say, that again, isn't coming at them as a holier than thou. They're coming at them in love and saying, man, I saw some things that I would love to help you with, as you just said. So I'm not saying we shouldn't help people be accountable, but that doesn't mean if you're on social media, that's not your time to keep people accountable.
Exactly.
They're not going to listen. That's going to cause more fight. That's going to cause more beef. You might even have the right intentions in what you say. But when it's over a screen, it's taken a completely different way. And probably if you probably have experienced this. Most people listening have experienced what I'm talking about. And you wish you could take that accountability. So we should not stand for sin.
Exactly.
In the media and the world and what's going on. We shouldn't, as believers, not stand for sin. But we also don't need to go and yell at everybody who is sinning.
Exactly.
That doesn't work. Build the relationship. Help them understand what truth is. When you talk to them in truth and love, sin naturally should come to their mind through the power of the Holy Spirit in conviction. So they seek accountability and seek help. If you don't want it, you don't take it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So there's so many parts. That's why you have to be, you could go back and forth. You do it in love. You do it through relationship. Mm-hmm. And you do it understanding, hey, I'm just as sinful as everybody else, but I have a key. I have the power of the Holy Spirit who I've given my life to. Mm-hmm. And he, as it says in John, is our advocate, is our helper, and he will teach us his ways.
Exactly.
So well, that's my part.
No, I like that. I really like that. And because even, okay, if we, it's like 2 weeks straight going on this, you know, this adulterous woman. But I think sometimes we think, well, like as believers, it's like, well, I have to come out against this because whatever this person did was sinful or wrong. So I need to speak out against that. But, and it looks like if I don't speak out against that, then somehow I condone this behavior. And that would be my question is, so was Jesus condoning adultery when he stood up for this woman to say, hey, don't shame her, don't stone her, don't kill her? Mm-hmm. No, he's not saying adultery was okay. You know what I'm saying? He's just reminding people of their humanity, that there is restoration, that sin is, it all falls on the same plane. It's not, you know, better or worse or anything like that. And so I think that would be, I don't know, if anything, at least an encouragement to myself when I feel like, I don't know, when I do feel like, because I, you know, again, I feel that way sometimes where it's like, I want to show that I don't approve of this, that I think that this is wrong. But also remembering behind all of, you know, any action, any human, you know, there is sin. Of course, there's evil stuff, but there is a human who has probably just experienced a lot of brokenness to get them to do whatever XYZ has gotten them to this point.
You know, what's fascinating about that story you're talking about, and I know y'all talked about last week. So, you know, she's standing there. Jesus says, mm-hmm. if you sin, throw your stone. And obviously everybody drops and leaves and it's just him and her. He's like, where is everybody at? Mm-hmm. Yeah, who's here to accuse you?
Yeah.
And she's like, no one's here. And he's like, yeah, basically I'm not going to accuse you either.
Wow.
Go and sin no more, right? So here's the thing. He has the power to do that mm-hmm. because he knows what's about to happen. He knows her sins will be forgiven because of his sacrifice.
Yeah.
So
that's so good.
We take that example and we say, like you're saying, how can I accuse anybody? You know what? Mm-hmm. The main role of the devil and the Satan is for you to sin as many times so he can accuse you in front of Jesus.
Yeah.
And in Colossians, Jesus says, if you're covered with my blood, you have no accusations.
Yeah.
You're already covered. So he knows that to that woman that he's standing there in front of all these people. Like, she's free from accusion. Why? Because I'm about to give my life to her.
Chills.
I know, that's tight, right? So we take that into the world then. What is that? That's love.
I
sacrifice my life so you can go free from sin. So you mean to tell me then, do we take that example and as believers, we go into the world and start condemning everybody for not following what you think you should believe? No, here's what you do. You say, Jesus sacrificed his life for us. Mm. We need to love each other the way he loved that lady. Go, but sin no more. Understand the truth, but go and don't sin anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, again, so this is what I wanted to talk about is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right? Because that is the main source of your spiritual growth, mm-hmm. of your wisdom, of your discernment in these situations.
Yes.
It's not us. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And here's what it says in John 14. If you love me, and this is, mm-hmm. how do you get the Holy Spirit? If you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Mm-hmm.
If you love him, and then keep his commandments. Well, out of love, we should keep his commandments. So that's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
And he says this, if you do that, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. This is what we're talking about. We can see it because you love him and believe in it. The people that we're condemning might not see it and understand it. So what do they see instead of the Holy Spirit? Condemnation.
Yeah.
But Jesus is saying, I'm asking you to do it in love and I will send you this. He says, you will know him, for he dwells in you forever. And so we have to use that power of the Holy Spirit that is given to you to discern, what should I do in this situation? Is it my time to hold him accountable, mm-hmm. or is it my time to love him?
Yeah.
And is it my time to accept him?
Yeah.
Not as the sin, the person. Is it my time to show grace and to show mercy? You know, that's discernment.
Yeah.
But it's not us. It's the Holy Spirit.
Which is, you know, that beautiful example of Jesus. And so that was... you know, I did a study one time on that scripture in particular where he says, I'm gonna send you another. And that word for another was, in the Greek originally, it was, and I can't remember what the Greek word was, but that word another meant the exact same as me. So he was saying, I'm sinning the exact same as me. And there were two different types of another that you could, that he could have used there. But the one that he chose in the Greek, it was kind of like, if I said, you know, give me another book, you know, if I were holding the Bible or something, I said, hey, give me another one of these. You could hand me any book at all. But the word that Jesus used for that would have been like, okay, if I'm holding a Bible and it's got my highlighter in it, you know, and it's got notes on certain pages or whatever. If I said, hey, give me another one of these, you would have to give me the exact same copy. Like it has to have exact, you know, the same rip on page 32, the same notes on page 74. Like it has to be the exact same. And that's the word that he used. So when you use that beautiful example of how Jesus infused love into that situation and knew that he was not going to accuse her, that same spirit. So like when we think about this Holy Spirit as some ethereal mystery, of course there's mystery in, you know, in following God, but you know, in the things of God, but honestly, there's not, it's not that crazy of a mystery when we can actually see how Jesus lived his life and know this exact same like carbon copy is right here with me.
You. And that's so, the thing. And you, that's the hard part though.
Right.
Sacrificing your, when we talk about that on stage, sacrifice your life to the Lord. You know, we ain't talking weird. You know what I'm saying? Your thoughts, your desires, give him the ability to try to help you understand how to use him, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why this family time thing, which I don't know why I thought about this, but like on Sunday mornings, this is shooken me, man. Like this
shooketh.
I've been shooked. It's just being still in the presence of God. We run everywhere. Yeah. Like you said, we're so busy. You know, and guys, be still. And when we be still, we calm our hearts, seek direction from the Holy Spirit in any situation. And more times than not, if you love him and keep his commandments, you'll start to grow in that. You'll start to understand it. You'll start to recognize it more. You'll start to understand. And then he gives you situations and you can trust your instincts because they're through the Holy Spirit that that situation is correct. You know.
Oh, I love that you said that too, because I think, you know, that could be for someone who's listening. Like, I don't know the difference between like my thoughts, what I want or whatever, and the Holy Spirit. And I feel like just over the course of my life, different studies of understanding the Holy Spirit, I've come to trust my instincts more, understanding that my life is filled with the Holy Spirit and I am sinful and things like that. But also, there's just nothing that we can do to thwart God's plan for our lives or mess anything up. We can make confident decisions and say, I trust that God will be with me in this decision.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, your wife helped me a lot with understanding that. She is. She's the best. But she had had, I can't remember, I think it was a pastor that she had had or you guys had had that talked about something along these lines where it was kind of like, you know, God isn't some, you know, trickster where he's, you know, I'm going to put three doors in front of you, either take this job or do this or go here. I hope you pick the right one. Like, that's not how God operates. It's walk through a door and know I'm going to be with you. Just go, you know, make a decision.
Fire emoji.
No, won't that free somebody up? Like, who is just like constantly in their head. And I think that that's true for anything in a situation. As long as you feel like you're moving forward in love, as long as you know you're not actively going into some sort of sin, such as, okay, let's draw it back to, as long as you're not walking into accusing someone and heaping shame on someone, those are the things Jesus came to alleviate. He came to rescue us from those.
So
Greg, don't,
that was tight. Look at Greg looking at me. That was Sally. You were on
to
something.
But it's true. Those are the things he came to rescue us from, to save us from. So we don't, if we carry Jesus with us, it would be inaccurate to say we get to go heap that on someone. You know?
Yes, man.
What I will say is the Holy Spirit will never lead us to do that.
No, and in whatever situation we choose, because you said it too, we are sinful, obviously, too, right? So we're fighting that battle.
Right.
Paul even says it too. I keep doing what I don't want to do, even though I know I shouldn't do it,
exactly.
I still do it or something like that.
Yeah. Right?
Because we still have that desire
exactly.
to naturally sin.
Yeah.
That's not God's fault. That's our fault.
Yeah.
It's just in us now. So we have to then discern. And sometimes we do it.
Oh, we're going to mess it up.
Right. But the good thing is, like like we were saying, even out of that, good stuff comes. My life was away from God until I was still, right? You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
But I was not doing what I should be doing until about 22, 23 years old. And then, but I've learned so many life lessons in my sin that has helped shape who I was, right? So, who I am, I mean. So God uses he turned, oh, all Need to Breathe's coming out a new album, by the way. Oh. It says, oh, something like turns my shame into gardens or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't
know. Like, he'll bloom flowers in the desert, right? Yeah. That's what God does. But we just have to trust it and follow it.
Absolutely.
And I don't know what time it is, but we were talking about this some upcoming series, and this is where the Holy Spirit's conversation started.
Yeah.
Alex was up in there too. And Robin said something that absolutely blew my mind. Mm-hmm. And I wish I remember the exact quote. But I was just talking. I was just like, man, if we used even 0.5% of the power of the Holy Spirit, our lives, people's lives would look completely different, you know, because we are taking everything that we want, mm-hmm. our selfish desires out, and solely living out the Holy Spirit. And if we do that, that's the love we're talking about. That's the humility. But she was like, you know, proof of your spirit maturity is rooted in how much you understand the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
The more we understand who He is, the mm-hmm. more our spiritual maturity grows, because we're living through Him and not through us, you know?
That's so good.
And it all based off of love and humility and reading Scripture.
Yep.
And you asked that question too, sorry. Like, how do we know if we walk through the right door, or if I make the right choice, or if I respond the right way? Mm-hmm. I think this is not me, right? I'm saying I struggle with this. But what came to my head was, if whatever decision or choice or comment we intend to make, if it's done, like we said, in love, but also humility, are you doing this free from any personal gain?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times, again, that door will be okay.
Yeah.
The Lord will use that, because you're doing it through humility and love. And again, that's what God calls us to do.
Absolutely.
You can't respond negatively if it's in humility and love. You can correct and send truth through relationships. Again.
Exactly. But
anyway, those are just a bunch of random thoughts in my head. And
mine too. I thought that was great. I think, you know, we kind of were like, hey, let's just chat about this. So I think that worked out. I think this is good for me. These are good reminders for me. And maybe this is good for someone else. You know, it's a tough world. It's really crazy right now. There's a lot to have opinions over, and a lot that we can be shouting with the world. There's just a lot of shouting. And I love that you said that too. I'm really loving that on Sundays. And I've actually had this thought where I wonder, while we're sitting in silence for 10 seconds on a Sunday, who, aside from falling asleep or being asleep at night, the percentage of people in this room, like, who, this is like their only 10 seconds out of their entire week that they've just sat still, not been on their phone, not been listening to music or a podcast or watching TV or working or with their kids, like actually just sitting still in the presence of God. And I think that has become really a powerful moment for people to stop, get quiet, and really start allowing the Holy Spirit to speak, and not just be so filled up with noise all the time. And so we could do that. We could jump right in with the best of them. So the whole point of this conversation is just asking, as believers, as people who want to infuse the love of Christ into our communities and see change in a real way, not in just a political way, or, you know, just all these little Band-Aids that we put over things, like actual Jesus change in our communities. Like, it starts with little things like refraining from heaping shame on someone, you know? And
this is
like
it
that.
Right here.
Yeah.
You're saying it. And we went through this verse in a little 15-minute devotion this morning.
Yeah.
Hashtag no coincidence. It says this. And Colossians 4:5, we got to run. So go look this up. If you're wondering, how do I answer these questions?
Yeah.
How do I respond to me? How do I work in love? It says this in Colossians 4:5. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, right?
Yeah.
Walk... Think before you speak. Think through the Holy Spirit. Wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit. Making the best use of your time. So walk in wisdom towards outsiders and make the best use of their time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person.
So good.
Talk about it. That's it.
So good.
Walk in wisdom.
That's exactly it.
Make the best use of any 10 seconds you have. Be gracious. And that way you'll respond the way you're supposed to.
Amazing. Amazing. Enough said, right?
Yeah.
So good.
Thank you guys for having me. Season 2.
Season 2. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you so much for joining us for this conversation. If you'd like to know more about New River Church and the ministries or opportunities we have for you and your family, please visit newriver.church. If you have a question or a topic that you would like for one of our pastors to cover in a podcast, please visit newriver.church/podcast and send us a message. May God cover you with his goodness and grace, and may Jesus always be enough. Talk to you next Wednesday.